Let's have the Judiciary Committee come to order. It is April 14th at 8:35 in the morning, 2010. We have a quorum to conduct business. Senator Egan is here, Senator Coghill, myself, Senator French. We have several bills up in front of us, and I'd like to start with moving out some measures that we've had for a couple of days in the committee to rest and let people think about and get comfortable with. And let's start with HB 408. We have the prime sponsor here. We've heard from the public. We got a good rundown of the bill from the Department of Law, and it's an act relating to misconduct involving weapons, just so everyone's oriented to that. Any committee discussion, questions for the bill sponsor or his aide? I don't see any. How about a motion? Senator Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, make a motion that we move CS for House Bill 408 Judiciary version U, is it, with individual recommendations, and I don't think there's even a fiscal note attached.
I see an attached fiscal note.
There is, okay, an attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the bill's moved out of committee. Why don't we just do them all one at a time, and then we'll stop. Let's turn now to, while we have you here, we'll just have Representative Rammer's moment or two. We have HB 251, Vehicle Liens, Towage, Storing, Transport. We heard this bill, took public testimony, listened to the concerns of the trucking industry and towing industry more specifically about their problems getting paid when certain occurrences take place with respect to liens. Is there any committee discussion?
Mr. Chairman, only I did have a couple questions, and they were answered, and fully supportive of the bill.
Very good. We'll stop for a moment. Welcome, Senator Wilikowski. We are in the process of wrapping up discussion on House Bill 251, an act relating to liens on vehicles and to towing, transport, et cetera. We do have the bill sponsor here, as in the past. This seemed like a fairly non-controversial cleanup measure to me. Any further committee discussion or a motion? Senator Wilikowski.
Mr. Chair, I move that we move House Bill 251 out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the bill is moved. And Representative Ramos, you seem to have an attractive power over my committee, because I know we started with three, we now have five. Let's welcome Senator McGuire.
32 in the morning, Mr. Chair.
Very, very magnetic personality. I want to thank you for that. Last and certainly not least is HB 253 relating to liens with respect to payments of contractors and giving them just a little bit more time to collect on a bill and to record a lien if the negotiation process breaks down between themselves and their customer. Representative Ramers.
Chairman, Jay Ramers, Representative District 10. I just wanted to have the opportunity to go on the record and thank the chair and thank the committee for your cooperation and your assistance over the last 2 years. It's been we had this exchange in the House side, and it's just been a pleasure and a privilege to be your counterpart. The Judiciary Committee, and it's been a terrific esprit de corps. So I thank you, and I thank the committee.
Those are very kind words, and I'll reciprocate. It's been a good working relationship, as good as you could hope to have, I think, across the bodies. And I gave a little speech yesterday about the cooperation between the two bodies this year, and I think it, you know, there's always a few days left of turmoil, but I think it's been a remarkably good couple of years. So thank you for those words. And with that, I would take a motion on this last bill of Representative Ramos's. Senator Wilikowski.
Chair, I would move that we move House Bill number 253 out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, that bill is moved. Three in a row. Thank you so much, Representative Ramos. We'll take a short break to add to the paperwork. That I neglected to take note of. Lieutenant Governor Craig Campbell, welcome to the committee. Nice to have you here. We're honored by your presence. I appreciate you taking the time to come visit us in the last days of the session. And we have a bill up that mentions your name a few times. HB, right, very well done. Well done. HB 36. We'll bring that back up before us. We heard an overview of the bill yesterday, took public testimony. It's a fairly complex bill, but at the same time, fairly straightforward. I just want to give the committee plenty of time to think it over. Lieutenant Governor Campbell is here to answer questions. We have Alpheus Bullard online from Ledge Legal, Jerry Anderson, the Assistant Director of APOC, Tom Dosick from the AG's office, and you know, we have a couple of amendments. Why don't we get those taken care of, and then we can turn back to the bill itself. The first amendment, backslash CA.2, I'll style as amendment number one by me. I'll move it and object. Amendment number one pertains to page 7, lines 30 and 31, and the idea here is to make clear that the hearings are going to be on initiatives certified by the Lieutenant Governor, and that we sort of narrow the scope of the work that we're asking the legislature to do with respect to that initiative. So that's amendment number one. I'm also going to add a conceptual amendment to the amendment. And the amendment to the amendment, and we'll get this all back before us, don't worry, in a CS, clean CS before anything leaves the committee. But the idea is to make it clear that there only has to be one committee hearing, that it will be a standing committee, but I want to give the authority to choose which committee to the two presiding officers and let them work it out. So there's someone who's tasked with making that decision, because the bill doesn't say anything about who's going to, you know, which who's going to pick the committee. There's no process in here, and I think it needs to be, of course, within our domain if it's going to be a hearing. And so the conceptual amendment would be something along the lines of on page 8, line 3, would read something like, a standing committee shall hold at least one hearing, a standing committee, comma, as determined by the presiding officers of the House and Senate, comma, shall hold at least one hearing. Under the section within 30 days, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the amendment to the amendment, conceptually, to add the two presiding officers as the decision makers with respect to picking the standing committee. Is there, and Senator Wilikowski?
Just this whole section is, I think, probably maybe need a little bit of tightening up. I guess one question I have is on page 8, line 1, it says, shall consider an initiative. And are you going to change that to have a hearing?
You know, that, I think it's a good idea, because the amendment, as you notice, changes conduct reviews on line 3 to hold a hearing.
Yeah.
And so it should be consistent, I agree. A standing committee of the legislature shall hold a hearing on an initiative. Let's, do you want to, let's see, so we've done, why don't we do it one at a time? Let's do conceptual. Well,
do you want to get, I mean, do you want to get these drafted up? Are you moving the bill today?
No. Like I say, we're gonna make some changes to the things that jumped out at us yesterday, get that cleaned up, and then make sure we have a good, clean CS that we can look at again before it moves. I mean, this bill's got to go to finance and then make it to the floor, but there's plenty of time. Nothing but time, the way I see it.
Nothing but time.
Nothing but time, you know? And you know, this is a bill that came to us. We started work on it yesterday, and we're working on it assiduously, but, you know, we did get it yesterday, so we're going to be careful.
Great.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, though, why don't we make as many conceptual amendments and changes as we can now so that we can see them
sure.
in writing. For example,
sure.
the one that was just suggested, page 8, sure. line 1,
sure.
I think is an easy one to make right now, that sure. shall hold a hearing on an initiative.
Okay, so let's just do one thing at a time. We've got amendment number 1. We've got let's make life as easy as possible. Let's deal with a conceptual amendment to the amendment number 1. Then we'll do amendment number 2, and then we'll come back to that one as amendment number 3. How about that? Okay, so on amendment number 1 still, we have a conceptual amendment to the amendment, which would add language giving the power to the presiding officers of both bodies to pick the standing committee. Is there any objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing and seeing, now that's conceptually adopted. We're back to the amendment number 1.
And can I just ask, what if the presiding bodies can't agree on which committee should hear it? We have a section on page 7, line 16 and 17, that penalties for violation of the section may not include removal of an initiative from the ballot. I think that's probably a reasonable section to add to section 15 as well.
That sounds like a good amendment number.
Because if you have a president.
Four or five, right. Yeah, I mean, so you get some.
Speaker can't agree.
One of each body, one of each party, you know, controversial ballot initiative. Right, I agree.
Could we change language to failure during a penalty?
Let's wait till we get there. I feel like we've leapt ahead a little bit from where we are. So we're back on amendment number one. Is there further objection to amendment number one? Hearing and seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. And actually, now that it's on our minds, let's do amendment number two as the proposal from Senator McGuire to, at the top of page eight, lines one, to strike the words consider, strike that single word consider, and insert the word hold a hearing on.
Yes.
Is that your amendment?
Amendment
number two has been moved by Senator McGuire. Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, amendment number two carries. Amendment number three by Senator Wilikowski is to add in section 15 a sub C. In section C, we're going to add sub C, and sub C in section 15 is going to read just like sub C in section 12. Penalties for a violation of this section may not include removal of initiative from the ballot. Is that your amendment number three?
Yeah, except I'm sort of skipping through the whole bill right now, and I'm wondering if I certainly want it to apply to that section, but I know sometimes when courts see words like that in one section, they think, well, it doesn't apply to the other sections because we've made a conscious effort. And mm-hmm. I think, quite frankly, that section should be included in for every section. I don't want to see people's initiatives get thrown off the ballot because we're either the legislature or the mm-hmm. lieutenant governor is not complying with the law. So
let's do one thing at a time, and let's.
I guess what I'm saying, Mr. Chair, is maybe mm-hmm. we want to move page 7, lines 16 and 17, to provisions for violation of this whole chapter. But yeah, that's why I'm sort of going back.
Yeah, I'd want to hear from Mr. Bullard before we did that, just so we don't get too far ahead of ourselves. I completely agree with your idea to add it to section 15, but I'm not ready to.
Okay, so I'd make a motion that we add it to section 15, a conceptual amendment that we add penalties for a violation of this section may not include removal of an initiative from the ballot to section 15, Mr. Chair.
That's amendment number three by Senator Wilikowski. Is there an objection to that?
I'll object, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coghill.
I guess the question I keep asking myself is, without a affirmative penalty, we're putting a bottom stopper on this, right? Saying it can't kick the initiative out, but we're leaving it open for other penalties. Is that what we're doing?
Maybe we should ask.
We do have Alpheus Bullard on the line for another 5 minutes or so, because I know he's busy as well. Mr. Bullard, are you there?
Good morning, Senator French and members of the committee. This is Alpheus Bullard of Ledge Legal, and yes, I'm on the line.
Good morning, Mr. Bullard. And did you understand the nature of Senator Coghill's question?
I did, and I do have some comments about the language in sub C on page 7.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
17. I would not advise this language being really applied anywhere. It's quite clear constitutionally that the only way that an initiative can be removed from the ballot is if the legislature passes a substantially similar measure or a court finds that it's an unconstitutional use of the initiative power. And I think that including this language at various points through the bill obscures that fact.
Very good. So you're urging us to go in the opposite direction, to not insert ourselves statutorily where the Constitution has already given us clear direction.
Senator French and members of the committee, that would be my position.
Well, and I just, Mr. Chair, I guess I have a little different thought. I know they spent a lot of time on that section in the House, and they had a large debate on it. I'd be a little reluctant to start removing things, and I mean, what's the harm, Alpheus, in having that, a provision like that?
Through the chair, members of the committee, I think it creates a question, in essence. I mean, the law will remain unchanged, but that you see it here begged the question of why it was not included in Section 15 and so forth. It's for that reason that I think that it creates some small confusion. And while it won't change what the Constitution provides, I think that it obscures that reality.
And that's sort of why, Mr. Chair, I had advocated that we apply to the whole chapter.
While we're on the debate, Mr. Bullard, I'm opening up the Constitution. I'm trying to remember which article deals with the initiative power. I think it's Article 7. 11, thank you. We've got a Jeopardy. That's right. Article 11, initiative and referendum, thank you. I guess I just need to do a little more thinking. This is why the end of the session is so entertaining, is that you've got to do a lot of fast thinking on big topics in a hurry. Senator Wilkowski, there's an amendment before us to add that to Section 15. And there's an objection by Senator Coghill. So I just want to keep this sort of procedurally squared away.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, Mr. Chair. This is something that's coming at us very quickly. I'd be happy to, if committee members want to discuss it or think about it some more, we can pull it back and do that overnight.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we have Ms. Christensen come forward and tell us the history of the Section 12. Sub C. I understand that was the subject of some debate in the other body. Welcome to the committee.
For the record, Sonia Christensen, staff to Representative Johansson. Section 12, subsection C, was added in the House Finance Committee by Representative Guerra. He wanted to make it very clear that if there was any sort of funny business going on between the bodies or members, that there was no it wasn't going to, in effect, default an initiative for the ballot. The sponsor's intent of this bill is to close loopholes, not create them through this. And so this was Representative Skira. I believe it was a conceptual amendment added in the House Finance Committee, and I could tell you that the sponsor is open to adding that same clause to Section 15 as well.
And just for the historical record, not to cast any doubt whatsoever on my friend and colleague, Representative Guerra, but did he make this amendment with the benefit of legal counsel from Ledge Legal? I mean, were you there, and was there testimony from Ledge Legal?
I believe that through the chair that Mr. Bullard was online when this was made, but if I recall correctly, it was a conceptual amendment.
The question was imposed. Yeah. Well, we've lost the person objecting to your amendment, so that is one of the benefits of the end of session as well. You just wait long enough.
And suddenly... just wait
it out. I'm sorry. Senator Wilkowski, do you want to withdraw it for the time being?
I don't want to try to roll over while Senator Coghill's not here. I think we should be consistent here, and I think Mr. Bullard made... he made a very good observation, which is, if you have it in one section but you don't have it in another section, then courts interpret all the time. You know, our words, putting it in one section, and just the fact that we're having this debate and making a conscious decision not to include it in another section, I think could just set off legal challenges, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So I would urge consistency.
To be perfectly frank, I've considered, just to let folks know where I'm thinking. I've thought about taking the public hearings out and the hearing in the legislature out. You know, I appreciate what the sponsor wants to do about spreading the word and getting the word out, making sure people know what they're talking about. But there are at least some folks out there who see this as an impediment to the initiative process and not an addition. So it's just something I'm debating. I haven't decided what to do with that debate in my mind, but it's at least fair to let you know that that's something I'm thinking about. Because just exactly what we're wrestling with this and how we make it work and who decides and where they happen and so forth. So we do have an amendment before us, Senator Wilkinson.
I'll withdraw the amendment this time, but to preserve the right to bring it back.
Fair enough.
Mr. Chairman.
Fair enough. Senator McGuire.
Thank you. And then this brings me to a question. Don't know if this was discussed in the other body, but I'm one that, particularly in areas like this, likes to include a severability clause in case one element of the bill is deemed unconstitutional. And then the drafter sometimes comes back and says that that's, you know, read into every statute and so forth. But I'd like the committee to consider that as well when we walk forward. I think it's better to spell it out when you've got a complicated matter like this.
And Mr. Bowen, I understand we still have you. I could hear you cough. Can you, and I'm sorry about your cold. I know this is a bad time for you folks over there. You're working hard, and it's a bad time to be ill. Can you just remind us about the point that Senator McGuire made regarding severability?
Through the chair, Senator McGuire, there is a severability clause provided in Title I of our statutes. In a similar vein to my comments about subsection C on line 16 and 17, you do no harm by including it, but it's not necessary.
We'll leave. Thank you for that comment. Let's turn now to amendment number 4. I think that is fairly straightforward, and it does pertain to the area that we're concentrating on. And then I've got one more point for you, Mr. Bowler, before you go, just to get on the record. Amendment number 4 leaves it to the discretion of the Lieutenant Governor to try to provide either radio, video, webcam broadcasting of these hearings to get them out as far as possible. And part of the reason I do that is, and you may have in your packets, a copy of the election districts in the state. And when you stop and look at the election districts, let's just take the second election district as an example.
Judicial district.
Judicial district. Sorry. Yep. Thank you for the point of order. The second judicial district stretches from Canada, of course, down to the Norton Sound. Major towns include Barrow, Kotzebue, Nome. If you mandate two hearings there, one of those major centers of population gets left out. And so the idea is to sort of broadcast or sort of all the little villages that are dotted in that part of the state. And so by sort of asking the Lieutenant Governor to make reasonable efforts to broadcast the hearing, I think you spread the word better. And so that's the basic idea behind amendment number 4. I'll move amendment number 4 and ask if there's objection to it. Don't hear, see any. With that, amendment number 4 is adopted. And now, Alpheus, Mr. Bullard, I asked you this morning to take a look through the bill with an eye to it, keeping in mind the Citizens United decision. This bill was drafted before that decision came down. We now have new players in elections that we largely tried to address through a separate measure, SB 284. But I just thought I'd have you look at the language here to see whether in some of the sections we could tighten it by substituting simply the word person, since that kind of covers all the entities that now play in elections, instead of just, for example, on page 1, section 1, you'll see individual, person, non-group entity or group, and that phrase repeated a couple times. So maybe you could just let the committee know your thoughts on that. Mr. Bullard, thank you.
Senator French, members of the committee, there are two places that I don't think I haven't had time to spend a great deal of review, but sections 1 and 6, the language could be amended a little bit. In section 1, on page 1, lines 6 and 8, it could just read every person and every person. And then in section 6, it could read an initiative committee or other person. And that's on page 3, line 7.
And that leaves the underlining meaning of those statutes completely unchanged. We're not losing anything. We're not gaining anything. We're just being more concise. Is that correct?
I am hesitant to say that that's absolutely true. I have not given it the time yet to know.
Okay. Then with that in mind, I know we're about to lose you. I'm going to hold off on making that amendment because I don't want to change and then change back. But it's just something on my mind. And thank you, Mr. Bullard, for making yourself available to us this morning.
Certainly.
Other committee discussion of HB 36. Okay. It's my intention that we keep this in committee, keep studying it, and continue working on it. Anything else from you, Ms. Christensen?
No, thank you.
Anybody else here in the room? I know we've closed public testimony, but I'd be happy to receive wisdom from the body here. No one stepping forward. Excellent. Let's go ahead, and with that, we will go ahead and adjourn. Thank you.